God. Will somebody lift up your hands and let's give God praise this moment? Just lift up your hands unto God and let's bless Him, the God of our salvation, the God of all creation.
We thank you.
The God with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Let's bless this God who has been so gracious to us.
We lift you up on high, Jehovah.
Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him thanks.
We lift you up on high,
Jehovah. He's a good God and He's worthy of our praise.
We lift you up on high, Jehovah.
Jesus, we celebrate you.
We lift you up on high,
Jesus, we adore you. Father, we thank you.
We lift you up
on high, Jehovah. We worship you. We bless your holy name.
We exalt you.
Glorious God, thank you.
We exalt you.
Jesus, Son of the living God, thank you.
We exalt you.
We bless you, Lord.
We
appreciate you.
We exalt you, God.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God, everything works by light or by revelation. Everything works in the kingdom by light or by revelation. When your eyes open, it becomes easy for you to flow in the word of God. The beloved John could say this. He said, I went up by revelation. Apostle Paul also said the same thing. I went up by revelation. Please, lift up your voice this day and ask God, God, grant me revelation of your word this morning, that by revelation, I will do the impossible. Until revelation comes, you find it, you think it is impossible for you to do the impossible. Come on, somebody speak to the Father.
Grant me revelation.
Speak to the Father that your eyes will be open.
Of your word
that your eyes will be open. Your ears will be open today. That revelation will be granted you life. The revelation of doing the impossible will be granted you this morning.
By this revelation this morning.
Come on, somebody talk to your Father. Somebody talk to your Father.
Grant me revelation of
somebody
your
talk to your Father.
Your word comes, O God.
Nefia telamendo gleperate, zuzia faradesta, magrodozizia baratus.
For it is the Spirit that gives life, the letter prophecy.
Thank you, Father.
The Spirit, O God, this morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
This day is also our day of favor. It is our day of favor. You are going to pray, Lord, may I find favor in your sight this day. May I find favor in your sight to take me through this week. May I receive favor from you today. As the message is coming on, may I receive favor from you. Somebody lift up your voice and talk to the God. That this week, you will walk in the divine favor of God. You will walk in the supernatural favor of God. Oh, the Bible said Daniel found favor in the sight of the eunuch. Daniel found favor. That you will find favor in the sight of men wherever you go. Because you have obtained favor of the Lord, therefore you will find favor with men. Men will go out of their way to favor you this week. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Life is not all about struggle. The favor of the Lord is a great part of your life. The favor of the Lord is a great part of your life. God so favored Joseph. Everywhere he went, there was an open door for him. Because the favor of the Lord was with him. The Bible says God was with him. And everything he did prospered. Because God was with him. The favor of the Lord came upon him. Came upon him. The favor of the Lord came upon him. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Father, we are gathered before you this day and we ask that your word will come forth like a mighty rushing wind into our spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Glory to God. You are welcome to your year for awesome deeds.
Amen.
Please say to one another, 2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Now say to yourself convincingly in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
2021 is my year for awesome deeds.
Please be seated in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Once again, I welcome you to this month of doing the impossible. I want you to understand that doing the impossible is your birthright. It's not a privilege to do the impossible. It is the birthright of every child of God. It is not a privilege to do the impossible. It is your right. Jesus said, "The works that I do, you will do also, and greater works." Can you imagine that? This is Jesus now speaking, that you will do greater works. So you can imagine if you are doing the impossible, it is not a privilege. It is your normal life as a child of God. So please, let's get set. Let's keep our heart strong. The month is still good. Today is just 23rd. We still have some days in the month for you to perform some things that will cause the heavens and the earth to rejoice on your behalf. And we have the scripture that gives us the confidence that we can do the impossible. Mark chapter 9 verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe all things," how many things?
All things.
If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. So as we look at doing the impossible part 4 today, I want you to know that as you take a step of faith, the blessing of God does not come upon you because you heard the word. The blessing of God comes upon you because you do the word. Make up your mind to be a doer of the word. It is not the taking of notes that makes you blessed. It is not the preaching that makes you blessed. It's not because I'm preaching now I will be blessed. No, that's not it. If I'm not a doer of the word, my preaching is irrelevant. It is the doing of the word that brings the blessing upon your life. May you be a doer of the word beginning from this day forward.
Amen.
Glory to God. We're looking at doing the impossible part 4 today. And I want to let you know that you have to fight for your harvest. Look at your neighbor and say, "I have to fight for my harvest."
I have to fight for my harvest.
And this is something you have to do through focused faith. Through focused faith. You have to focus your faith to fight for your harvest. Why do we need to fight for your harvest? Because you have an enemy. Whether you know it or not, you have an enemy. His name is called Satan, the devil. That's the enemy of your soul. And he has vowed to be a stampede on your way. That's why you must rise and focus your faith. In fact, he's afraid when you stand in faith. He's afraid. He wants to steal everything God has for you. But I'm here to tell you today that you don't have to let him do it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't let him steal what God has given to you. The birth of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, fill your account with every good thing you can think of. Every good thing. The Bible says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. There is nothing you can think of today that has not been deposited into your account as a child of God. But why are Christians not receiving all those things? That's what we are saying now. Because there's an enemy that is resisting believers. Immediately you say, "Lord Jesus, be my Lord," Satan just puts your name on the attack list. But you don't need to be afraid because we have been well equipped to walk in the victory. Hallelujah. So you must use your weapon against him. Use your weapons, the weapons that God has given to you and I. You must use them. You see, your mouth is a wisdom for your words. Use it. The word of God is a weapon. Use it. Your faith is a weapon. Use it. Go after your harvest. Please, people of God, go after your harvest. If your harvest is delayed, put pressure. I love what Mama Copeland said. He said, if you have to double the dosage, talking about reading the word of God. He said, if you have to double the dosage, double it. In the kingdom of God, the word of God has no side effect. Double your dosage of the intake of the word of God. If you have to. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you this. Satan is afraid of a fighter. Amen. Oh, I love it. Mike Murdoch says Satan is afraid of a fighter. When he sees a fighter, he's afraid. He says, this troublemaker is coming again. Then he looks for other Christians that are not ready to fight. So you must make up your mind. You are a fighter. You are born a fighter. Amen. Every harvest in your life will require a fight, a battle. Every harvest, not some. Every harvest will require a battle. And a lot of believers don't want to fight, so their harvest is just passing them by. Ora Robert says, miracles, harvest is passing you. It's passing you daily. Passing, coming and going, passing you. We need to reach out and seize our harvest. Reach out and seize the harvest. Amen.
Amen.
And when we are talking of battle, that means your faith must be on ground. Your faith, when we are talking of battle, your faith need to answer the call of battle cry. Your faith need to answer the call. And when we talk of battle, look at what the Bible says, for instance. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. You see, until your faith becomes violent, you don't take it. Your faith need to become violent. And when we talk of the violence of faith, we are talking of the force of faith. Faith is a force. Faith is a tangible force. Tangible, that means you feel it, you know it in the spirit realm. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now. Somebody say, until when?
Until now.
Until when?
Until now.
Until now. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You have to be violent with your faith. You have to come to a place where you are violent in the realm of the spirit. You can't be casual and win the battle with the enemy. You can't be casual with your faith and win. No. The devil, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom to devour. He's going about looking for whom to devour. But the Bible says resist him. When he talk of resist, that's talking of pressure. That's talking of force. Resist. You don't resist without force. Don't resist without force. I read a story sometime, not the story, I read what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, you know, he was in the bus station, in the train station, he was about to board the train in the UK, and then this woman came with this very fluffy looking dog, you know, just wagging the tail, following the woman. So, you know, I said, he called it, I've forgotten the name of the dog. He said, please, it's time, my train is almost coming. Please go home. The dog will wag the tail. He will go close to the he will get close to the lady. And you know, the dog was just doing like that. And suddenly the woman saw the train coming, and the woman know that the time for her to go. She just said, get back. She stomped her feet and said, get back home. That dog put her tail between her legs and ran back home. And Smith Wigglesworth said, that's how we should deal with the devil. In fact, he said it to the woman, that's how we should deal with the devil. If you are gentle with the devil, he will keep your good. Somebody say, God forbid.
God forbid.
If you are gentle with the devil, he will keep what belongs to you. The time has come for you to be controlled by the word of God. If you are going to do the impossible, you must be controlled with the wine of the word of God. You know, we were having our training section. with some of the young folks, and I told them that the word of God is wine. The word of God is what?
Wine.
It's wine. I mean, I remember I used to drink alcohol. When I take alcohol like this, it controls me. I'm not under control anymore. I mean, I'm not in charge of myself. The alcohol controls me. In fact, some things they said I did, I couldn't believe that I did them. Why? I was not in charge. And until the word of God takes absolute control of you that way, then you know that you have not arrived where what we're talking about. The word of God must take control of you. So you see, when you see a man who is truly intoxicated, he doesn't care. He's not ashamed. He can say anything he wants to say. He's not afraid. Whether you are the president of the United States of America, it doesn't concern him. Whether you are Osama Bin Laden, it doesn't concern him. He's not afraid of anyone if it is truly under the intoxicant of the wine. That's the same thing. When you are intoxicated by the word of God, Satan doesn't pose a threat to you. You need to come to a place where you are fully under the influence of the word of God. Like we prayed this morning, that the word of God becomes your final authority. You see, you must come under the influence of the word. The word of God has influence. And that's what we're going to be looking at. How to come under that influence. Begin to speak from that influence. Is somebody understanding me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you the truth. You, in fact, if it's this alone I'm able to communicate to you today, I am glad that the word of God will have absolute control over you. Absolute control over you. A person who is drunk is, and you know something, if we are talking about a drunkard, I'm not talking of he drank alcohol, I'm talking of a drunkard. When he takes just one cup, one glass doesn't move him. He has to take multiples of glasses, and then the alcohol begins to have effect. Like I was trying to explain to some young, it was a training session. I was trying to explain. You see, when you take one glass of alcohol, it has some little effect. If you take two glasses next time, it has a greater effect. Now, if you are now used to taking five glasses, if you take one glass, it doesn't affect you. You have not started. There comes a point in your life, you must make sure that the word of God is now controlling you, not you controlling the word of God. The word of God is not the one controlling you. That's faith. That's when you look at the devil in the face and say, get out. Get lost. You are mad. I'll never forget that testimony. I went to Cameroon to preach. You know, and I slept and woke up with a horrible dream. Very horrible dream. Now, from the calculation of my wife and I, she is past due to deliver our second child, Joseph. 9 months, by our calculation, 9 months is past. So I guess maybe I was concerned or something. And of course, the devil brought me this stupid dream. I dreamt there. My boss sent somebody, one of the staff, to tell me that, in fact, immediately he saw me, started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, your son didn't make it. And the mother, both of them, they died. Immediately I gained consciousness. The first thing that came out of my mouth is, Satan, you are mad. You are mad. That's what I... Look, you see, why? Something was intoxicating me. Something is inside. Not, hey, oh God, let's call it, then let's pray prayer of agreement. This is the dream. No, Satan, you look at it, came from the depth of my inside. You are mad. You touch my wife. You touch my boy. You are mad. Why? I was being controlled from the inside by the word of God. You need to be controlled. If not, when Satan comes like that with all his gimmicks and his wiles, he will sweep you off the feet, off your feet. But with the word of God having control over you. And how do we do that? Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians. How do we do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Very, very important. It doesn't matter what is happening to you. It doesn't matter the stage you have been in your life. I tell you the truth in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you will follow this simple principle I'm giving you this morning, your life will take a new turn in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Look at that. He says, verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith. Somebody say the same spirit of faith.
The same spirit of faith.
It is the same spirit that Jesus have. The same spirit. It's not a different spirit. It's the same spirit that Apostle Paul had. The same spirit that John the Baptist had. The same spirit that Peter had. The same spirit today that Jesus have. The Bible says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We also believe and therefore speak. So you see, there is no faith without your speaking. There can't be faith without your speaking. You have to speak. Listen to me. If it is not working for you, that means faith is not involved. If the word of God is not working for you, faith is not involved. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. The Bible says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in those who heard it. Did you see that? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2. The word didn't profit them. Oh, we have been given tithe. We are not seeing the result. The word is not being mixed with faith. I'm giving offering. I'm not seeing the result. The word is not being mixed with faith. I'm confessing the word. I'm not getting the result I should get. The word is not being mixed with faith. If you mix it with faith, you will get the result. The Bible says it did not profit them because they did not mix it with faith. Look at your neighbor and say, from this day henceforth, I will mix my faith with the word of God.
From this day henceforth, I will mix my faith with the word of God.
It's very, very important. Very, very. He said, we believe and therefore we speak. You have to believe the word of God. You have to make up your mind. You have to settle it in your mind that the word of God is true. You have to settle it that the word of God is true. Even in the midst of contrary situation, tell yourself it is true. When there's nothing to eat, tell yourself that God is your supplier. Let God be true and every other man a liar. God can never lie. I tell you the truth, you must come to that place in your life where you know that God, look, it doesn't matter what happened to you. God's word is God's word. God's word was there before you were born. He was there before you encounter what you are encountering now. So you must come to a place where you recognize, you stay with the word of God that his word is true. You believe it. And because you believe it, you begin to speak what you believe. And look at Luke chapter 1, verse 45. The Bible says, blessed is she who believe. Blessed, not cursed, not disappointed. Blessed is she who believe. Blessed is she who believe. I will also say, blessed is he who believe. Not frustrated, blessed is the person that believed the word of God. The Bible says, for there will be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. There will be a performance of the things written in this book, because everything in this book is told us by the Lord. Everything in this book, there will be a performance of it. Everything in this book, there will be a performance. I speak to somebody today. Your life is taking a new turn in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your life is taking a new turn in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith. You see, don't look at somebody and say, wow, that guy, his faith is so heavy. That man is... No, it is the same spirit of faith we had. He's using his faith. Use your faith. Start from the level where you are. Start from the level where you are. Take your faith and believe God for little things. Start from there. You see, that's something with God. God does not give you an assignment that is greater than you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't call you to a battle that is stronger than you. He doesn't do that. If a battle comes to you, that means you are qualified to fight that battle and have the victory. Because God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. He will not. Whatever comes to you is your size. Don't look at somebody and say, oh, that man's faith is so, I wish I can have his faith. Listen to me. The Bible says we have the same spirit of faith. It is the same spirit of faith. But I want to tell you something. The person you are looking at is using his faith. The more you use your faith, the stronger it gets. The more you use your faith, the stronger it gets. You must learn to use your faith. It is very, very important. Begin to use your faith. The Bible says, from where you are, lift up your eyes. That's what he said, from where you are. You see, God is not demanding from you what you don't have. He won't ask you what you don't have. He won't ask of you what you don't have. He says, from where you are, that means from your size, the way it is. Begin to use your faith. Use your faith for little things. When that headache comes, resist that headache in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By the word of God, you speak for the word of God and you fire that thing away. What are you doing? You're developing your faith. You're growing your faith. Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be God.
Hallelujah.
We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians again, but let's move over. Speaking about believe and speaking, they go together. You see, these two words, believe and speaking, it goes together. It has to go together for you to do the impossible. David said, look, he said it. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of Israel? He said, today, I will bring down your head. Today, I will bring down your head. I will cut off your head with a sword. Now, there was no sword in the hand of David. But he said it. And that's what happened. You see, you can't just say you believe without speaking. You cannot do the impossible without speaking. David spoke. You have to speak. It is very, very important. Speaking, believing, and speaking must go together if you are going to do the impossible. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23. Especially verse 23, but let's read verse 22. He says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The same spirit of faith. That's what we're talking about. The same spirit of faith. He said, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith in your size. Have it. What is the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is the one that believes and speaks. That's the God kind of faith. He believes it and he's speaking. That's the God kind of faith. You believe and you speak. Verse 23. And assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, look at that now, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. He believed that those things will come to pass. In spite of contrary situation, he believes that what he's saying will come to pass. They say they are laying off everybody. Say, my case is different. My case is different. He said, you know, in this land, if you don't have this, that, you cannot survive. My case is different. I'm surviving. I'm going to triumph. Not only survive, I'm going to excel by the word of God. And you are bold about your confession. Bold about your confession. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said he believes that those things which he said, he does not doubt it. He believed that they will come to pass. Not the word. You see, I said it when we started this series, and let me repeat it here again. Faith is not trial by error. Please, I want you, will it work? Will it not work? No. A faith walk puts God in the scene to perform on your behalf. When you do your part, God is under covenant obligation. And remember, he doesn't break his covenant. God is under covenant commitment. He's a covenant keeper, not a covenant breaker. So faith is not a trial by error. Have you done your part? He says here you are waiting on God. No, it's God that is waiting on you. Every time you hear people say, oh, we are waiting on God, we are waiting on God. No, it's God that is waiting on you. He has done his part. You need to do your part according to the word of God. That's why you must know the word. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he says. So it's very, very important that you believe in your heart that those things which you say will come to pass. You are not doubting it. You are not saying, oh, maybe it will work if the weather is good. Maybe it will not work if the weather is... No, 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 no. You are not considering external circumstances when it comes to your faith. All you consider is what is written, what is spoken. That's all you consider. When it comes to faith walk, you consider the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I roared on the devil that you are mad, Satan. What was cooking on the inside of me? I mean, the word of God was so alive in me that darkness cannot overpower light. When you get to your house in the night, and you turn on the switch, do you bind the darkness to leave? No, you just turn on the switch and the light comes on. People of God, light is powerful. Light is powerful. There is the light of God's word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. When it gives you light, you are in charge. When it gives you light, you are in charge. I remember, you know, when I just married my precious wife, we were just barely two months old then. I think in marriage, that was 2000, the year 2000, isn't it? Yeah, 2000. And then she started feeling this excruciating pain. You know, I prayed for her, and somehow it looks as if my prayer wasn't working. She now said, we need to go see a doctor. So we said, okay, let's go see the doctor. And you know, my faith was crude then. Crude. Somebody say crude.
Crude.
There are times you need to have this crude faith. Violent faith. Because if you try to refine the faith, a lot of ground will be gone. So we went to the doctor. She said, my wife should lie down. My wife lay down. And she took, she pressed. He said, is there any pain? My wife said, ah! She would press another side. Is there any pain? My wife said, no. He pressed a particular pain. She said, my wife has ulcer. I said, she cannot have ulcer. I was very crude that time. I tell you the truth. She said, the man looked at me. He said, she has ulcer. I said, she cannot have ulcer. He said, are you a doctor? I said, yes. He said, then go treat your wife. I said, yes. In Jesus' name, I took my wife and I went there. And that was the last of that disease. If I kept quiet, I would have swallowed that thing and ulcer would have terrified my wife. What you say is very, very important. What you say is very, very important. Now, let's get back to the Bible. Corinthians chapter 4, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We just read verse 13. Let's read verse 16. Now, I want to show you the dynamics of this faith. It's not difficult. It's not difficult like people think faith is difficult. Faith is simply doing what God says you should do. You do your part, God does his part. It's a covenant-keeping God. That's what he said to David. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn, put your name there. I keep saying that. Don't say once I've sworn to David. David has finished his course and gone to heaven. Once I've sworn to Benson that I will not lie to him. He has sworn to you that he will not lie to you. So that you can have confidence in his word. And that's what faith is all about. Having confidence that God cannot lie. God is much more able. Now look at it. Let's get to verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Because the situation can be contrary. There's so much pressure on every side on you, and you begin to get frustrated. Time for you to pay the bill, the money has not come, and you are wondering, oh God, you are beginning to doubt. No, listen to me. The Bible says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the word of God still remains true. Even when you cannot pay your bill, the word of God is still true. And you need to take your mind into that truth, that God's word is truth, and you'll see that every bill will be paid before the time comes. Before the time comes. And you don't have to beg. You don't have to borrow. Your God is much more than able. He's a good God. Is a good God. Somebody say, God is a good God.
God is a good God.
Can I hear somebody say with confidence, God is a good God?
God is a good God.
He said, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Did you see that? The inward man never gets old, he's fresh. That's why you must reckon with the man on the inside, not on the man on the outside. Reckon with the man on the inside, not on the man on the outside. Don't look at situations and circumstances on the outside. No. Don't follow the government forecast. Don't follow the business forecast. They say, you know, in this time now, there is going to be an economic downturn because of COVID. A lot of people's finances are affected. And you say, you know, my finance, because of COVID, my finance has been affected. No, not me. Not me. Recently, they called me from the bank. They said, is there any way we can assist your business, referring to the church? Because of this COVID, a lot of people, the man was just talking. And I said, excuse me, we don't have any of such things. We are well okay. You don't need any assistance, any loan? I said, no, we don't need loan. You are not affected? I said, no, we are not affected. We are not affected. You see, don't use your mouth to sign away your destiny. Don't use your mouth. Don't use your mouth to destroy your destiny. When that man had said that my wife had, what do you call it now? Also, if I'd accepted, I would have received that proper, I would have received that disease. Now that I know what I know, I don't even need to argue with the man. He is the one saying what it is, but in my spirit, I don't need to accept it. He's saying what he knows. That's the doctor's word. Okay, fine. That's what you know. I'll then go back to my father and say, Lord, this is not the situation. This is what I believe. But you know, then I was crude in my faith. Amen. Look, don't use your mouth to sign away your inheritance. Don't use your mouth to sign away your inheritance. Are you hear what I'm talking about? He says, look at verse 17. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Somebody said, what you are passing through is for a moment.
What you are passing through is for a moment.
For a moment. And what is a moment? A moment is a fleeting time. It's not to last for. No. A moment. A moment. I love what the man of God defined a moment as. He said, a moment shouldn't be more than 3 days. Shouldn't be more than 3 days. If it's more than that, then stand your ground and fight with your faith. Fight with your faith. God, your word say a moment. Amen. Your word say a moment. Look at that. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Did you see that? Compared to what? That's why you should not allow your mouth betray you. You should not allow your mouth betray you. Oh, yes. Maybe you were expecting something, it didn't come. Keep on praising God. Keep on jubilating. God's word is true. Don't let what you see, don't let your experience define the word of God. Rather, God's word should define your experience. A lot of people use their experience to define the word of God. They use their experience to interpolate the word, to interpret the word of God. No, 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 no. 100 times no, that is wrong. The word of God is what determines every other thing. Not your experience. That's why you see some people, they prayed to God and they didn't get the answer and they said, no, there's no God. God does not. So does that mean there's no God? That's why you see some people, they say today that they don't believe in God. Why? They say, oh, when I was in trouble, I called upon God and God didn't answer. No, that's not the kind of God we serve. In season and out of season. That's how your faith becomes strong. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now look at verse 18, and I want you to focus on it. I want this to become a solid point in your spirit, man. Let this define how you operate your faith. The Bible says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. This is where a lot of people fail, because they keep looking at what they see. They keep looking at how they feel. They keep looking at the bank account. They keep looking at the negatives. But yeah, the Bible says, why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You know, a lot of people, including me in those days, that I preached that God created this world out of nothing. It's not true. God didn't create this world out of nothing. He created this world out of something. He created the world from the word of God. He created the world from the word of God. The word of God was the source. Of course, for you and I, we couldn't see it. That's why we say nothing. But he didn't create the world out of nothing. He created the world from his word. From his word, he created the world. The Bible says, we know that by faith, God created the world by his word, from his word. And it is the same thing. He said we should not look at the things which are seen. We shouldn't focus on it. But we should look at the things which are not seen. Referring to the word of God. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal. Can I hear somebody say temporal?
Temporal.
Temporal.
That tenancy that you are occupying now is temporal.
Temporal.
I say it's temporal.
Amen.
You will have your own house in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You will have houses for others to rent in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You shall be on top. You shall not be beneath in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That disease in your body is temporal.
Temporal.
It's temporal. Today, it will leave you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever it is that you are experiencing, the Bible says, if you can, if the doctors can see it, it is temporal. If the economic experts, they can see it, it is temporal. He says, for why we look at the things which are not seen, but the things which, why we look at the things which, why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. One of the translations says, subject to change. It is subject to change. Subject to change. But we look at the things which are not seen. The things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. The word of God are eternal. This is what Father Abraham did. This is what he did that made him did the that made him he did that which was impossible at 100 years. He fathered a child. Especially Sarah, who has not been able to conceive all her life, gave birth to a son when she was 90 years old. 90 years old. The Bible says she judged God faithful. She came to a place and said, look, God, you are right. I am wrong. God, your word is right. I take your word. What you say. The Bible says she judged God faithful. That is the secret. Abraham focused on that which was not seen. What he was seeing, the deadness. In fact, let's turn to the book of Romans. Let's read it. Let's read it in the book of Romans. And you see what I'm talking about. Oh, I trust God. You will come with a report of doing the impossible.
Amen.
You will come with a report of doing the impossible.
Amen.
Oh, God is out to do some marvelous things in our time.
Amen.
It is a privilege to be alive serving God in this time. Because he will do awesome things. I tell you the truth. He will do awesome things. Where you come to a place where you'll be buying houses and you are paying cash.
Amen.
I didn't hear that amen well.
Amen.
You better say amen if you believe it, because it's what you believe that will come to pass. David believed it and he said it. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord. Look at that. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise might be what?
Sure.
The promise might be sure. Not. When you say something is sure, means it is certain. To all the seed. And he didn't say to some. He said to all. And you and I, we are the seed of Abraham. Not only the Jews that are seed of Abraham. In fact, the spiritual Jews are the more Jews than the physical Jew. That's what the Bible says. He says it's not Jew that is one outwardly, but one that is inwardly. He's a Jew that is one inwardly. Born again from the inside. Is somebody getting that?
Yes, sir.
He says that it might be sure. To all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you. You see, I want you to take note of this. As it is written, Abraham considered what is written. Abraham's faith bloomed as a result of considering what God says. That's what David used and excel over Goliath. He had read again and again that he shall be on top, not beneath. He has read again and again that God is with him. He has read it several times. While the whole army refused to believe, little David believed at 17 years old. He believed the word of God and he put action to the word of God. I mean, all of them all of them have read Deuteronomy. All of them have read Genesis. All of them. They've read Genesis to Deuteronomy. All of them did. Because it is required by law for every Jew at the age of 12 to have finished Genesis to Deuteronomy. He has to read it without looking at the book. At the age of 12, that's what they call Bar Mitzvah. It's part of the ceremony. So all of them knew the promise of God. I will be with you. I'm giving you this land. They promised to their fathers. But yet, Goliath tormented them. Every Goliath that is tormenting you today, I curse it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So, verse 17 says, as it is written, I want you to take note of that. Mark it in your scripture, in your Bible. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and call those things which be not, which call those things which do not exist as though they did. Did you see that? That is a pattern of faith. He called those things that does not exist physically as if they existed. He looked at Abraham and said, your descendants. And Abraham said, my God, is this what I heard God said? Yes, I heard him. Your descendants. When God said your descendants, then there was nothing in Abraham that said descendants. Abraham had nothing of such. He said, your descendants. Ah, look at that. Verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, believe in hope? Did you see that? Everything was against him, but he believed in hope. Everything was against Abraham, yet he had hope. Why? God has spoken. And God has spoken to you and I. It's all written in this book. God has spoken to you and I. Look at that. The Bible says, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. According to what was spoken. It is the word of God that gives your faith stamina to excel. According to what was spoken. It is the word of God that gives. So when I'm saying that you will inherit houses, you will build houses, you will occupy houses, and you will pay cash for it, I'm speaking it based on the word of God. According to what is written. God said it. I'm not the one that said it. God said it. So shall your descendants be. Did you see that? Verse 19 says, and be not weak in faith. Hallelujah. He was not weak in faith. And how was he not weak in faith? He did not consider his own body. He did not say, see, after all this powerful preaching, the pastor has been preaching to us, doing the impossible yet, but look at my life. What impossible can I do? No. The Bible says he did not consider his own body already dead. He did not consider. Please, don't be considering your bank account. Consider what God says. Consider what God says. Consider, Abraham did not consider his own body, the Bible says, now dead. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, Sarah had never in all her lifetime took him. But God has spoken. So what does that mean? God has spoken. That's the most important thing. When God speaks, it doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter. I want you to know this, please, people of God. Oh, the Bible says he did not, he was not weak in faith. The way for you not to be weak in faith, don't focus on the negatives. Put your eyes, take your eyes away from the things you see. He said the things we see, they are temporal, they are subject to change. Take your eyes from there and put your eyes on the eternal word of God. Put your eyes on the eternal word of God. Wake up in the morning and say, this is the day. This is, as you are driving to work, this is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. You are not doing it to fake a smile. You are doing it sincerely from the depth of your heart. Grateful to God. Grateful to God. He said, but I don't feel grateful. God didn't say, feelings has nothing to do with faith. Feelings has nothing to do with faith. Sincerely, believe God. Sincerely, obey God. Rejoice in the Lord your God. Again, I say rejoice. This man Abraham was just rejoicing in the fullness of God's word. He was so excited. He did not consider his own body already dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at verse 20. The Bible says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not waver, but he was strengthened in faith. He was strengthened in faith as he kept on giving glory to God. As he kept on giving glory to God. That's why, you see, you must make up your mind. I love the prayer we prayed this morning. Making God's word the final authority in your life. If you believe the word God is the final authority in your life, then you are not waiting with sadness. No, you are waiting on God with delight. Waiting on God, knowing that his word is coming forth. You see, when the Bible says true faith and patience they obtain, it doesn't mean the patience there is, you know, looking morose and looking so sad. No. Look at a reference point here. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He kept on praising God. He was praising God while he was in the time of his waiting. He was praising God. Oh, God has spoken. That's where we are going to. Jesus is Lord. Our King reigns. We are not under. We are on top. He kept speaking the word of God. Oh, my wife is going to be the mother of the... In fact, my wife is the mother of nations. Kings shall come out of my wife. I mean, he just kept giving glory to God, considering what God said, not considering his own body. You want to do the impossible? Don't consider what your body is saying. Don't consider what your pocket is saying. Consider what God says. Follow God and you will get to the promised land. Rise up to your feet in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. Rise up to your feet today. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And the favor of God came upon Joseph. The favor of God came upon Joseph. Such blessing came upon Joseph. The favor of God came upon Joseph because Joseph walked in the fear of the Lord. Whenever you walk in the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord comes upon your life. Whenever you decide to be obedient to God, the favor of the Lord comes upon your life. Come on, somebody, begin to receive the grace to walk in obedience to the word of God. That's what it takes to enjoy favor from the Lord. Walk in obedience to the word of God, taking God at his word. That's why God favored Abraham so much. Abraham did not consider his physical state. He did not consider the troubles in his body. He did not consider the trouble in his wife's body. He considered what God said. He made up his mind that God is true. He made up his mind that God is true, and he pursued God. Come on, somebody, talk to your father today. Raise up your voice, lift up your voice, and begin to talk to God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, the grace to do the word of God. Remember what we said. It is not the hearers of the word that are blessed. It is the doers. It is the doers. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. If it is in your heart, God will put it in your hand. If it is in your heart, God will put it in your life. It starts from your heart. Make up your mind to walk in the fear of the Lord. Make up your mind to be a doer of the word of God. These two things, they attract the favor of God. These two things, they attract the favor of God. And when the favor of God comes upon you, every man, they have have to submit to you. They have to submit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think. They have to submit to you. All you need is the favor of the Lord. And the favor of the Lord is available when you walk in the fear of the Lord and when you become a doer of the word of God. When you become a doer of the word of God. Not just hearers, deceiving your own self, but one that is a doer of the word of God. I see God changing your testimony today. I see God changing your destiny today. Come on, somebody. This is your time. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Will you lift up those two hands and bless the God of heaven and earth? Lift up those two hands and bless the God of heaven and earth. His favor is upon you this day. His favor is upon you. I see men, I see women, I see boys and girls, I see children, people, massive. I can see they are going out there with the word of God, preaching the gospel, lifting up without shame and without any form of reproach, with zeal, with passion, with delight, following God. And the favor of the Lord is just resting upon them. The favor of the Lord is just resting upon them. Oh God, we give you praise. God, we give you praise. God, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Just quickly. Quickly now. Just quickly before we round up the service today. You have listened to this message and you have not given your life to Jesus. Your faith cannot be strong. It takes the sons of God for their faith to be strong. You have to be a son. When I mean a son, whether you are a daughter or you are, whether you are a male or female, you are a son. Jesus made us sons of God. And if that's your desire today, having listened to this word of God, you want to operate in such faith that I just spoke of, why not say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. If that's your prayer, I want to pray with you. And pray this little prayer with me and say, dear God, today I come before you just as I am. I believe you died for my sins. God, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you, Father, for answering me today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you pray that prayer, I want to let you know that your life has just experienced a new dimension. Something has changed on the inside of you. The Bible calls it faith. Something has changed. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. New where? New on the inside. And as you concentrate on the inside, it will begin to reflect on the outside. If you pray that prayer, I would like to hear from you. Please send us an email to info@thelovepavilion.org and we'll be glad to have an experience with your new work. God bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Come on, somebody lift up your hands and let's bless the God of heaven and earth. Lift up your hands and let's bless the God of our salvation.